You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Johnny Carson came to Indy in the 60s and ran some laps for a segment on The Tonight Show. Whose car was he driving? What driver was giving him instructions?
Okay, absolutely. It was, that was in 67, I think it was like September or October. It was the STP Turbine that Parnelli Jones had come within three, four laps of winning the race in 67. And Granatelli sponsored The Tonight Show. The STP was a sponsor there. And so Granatelli occasionally was a guest on the show. And then I think he had maybe had Rocky Marciano on there as an STP rep. But anyway, he talked Johnny Carson into coming back and taking some laps in that car. And a segment was filmed for The Tonight Show. And the instructors were, let's see, I know Roger Ward was there. Roger Ward had retired, but he was there. Mario Andretti, and I think there was somebody else. But anyway, they took him around in the pace car and showed him where to go. And at one point, the tire marks, there was a skid, and you saw the tire marks go up into the wall. And Mario said, okay, you see those tire marks? That's not the groove. And who was the other guy?
I can recall seeing Mario in the picture.
It was Mario, Roger Ward, and I think there was somebody.
Isn't Parnelli in the picture?
Oh, probably. Yeah, I think Parnelli was there, too.
He's in the picture.
So anyway, they took him around in the pace car a few times. Then they put him in the turbine, and I think he got like maybe three or four laps. And the arrangement was just, take it steady. But when they gave him the pit board to say in, he couldn't resist doing another lap. And I think he ran, I think it was like 135 miles an hour, and Clarence Cagle was going nuts. And
as were the producers of the
time. Oh, I don't know. But anyway, that really happened. And Johnny Carson, that, as far as I know, that was the only time he was at the track. And I think he was sort of more of a car person than a racing enthusiast. But
take it away, Indianapolis Speedway. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Doodles Weaver in the press box at Indianapolis. It's a beautiful day for the races out here. The cars are ready to go. They're lined up perfectly. The sun is out, not a cloud in the sky. 200,000 people are waiting for this great event. What a spectacle. What a wonderful spectacle. I'll describe the whole thing to you watching on television. Now the boys are coming down here. There's number 14 with Hugh Galler on the inside. They're coming down here. The green flag is waving. The star says, okay, it's going to be a perfect start. And there they go! Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Jack, Queen, King, hit me again, dealer. I'm in. I'm good. I've had it. Wrong game. Around the first turn, number 10 is in the lead. Number 17, a green car, a blue car, a purple car, an orange car. The first car by the stands is number 10. Here he comes flashing down the street. Look at him go. Here comes car number 10. Here comes car number 10. There he goes right now. Car number 9, car number 3, 4, 5, 6. A wreck. The man is skidding around. He's out of control. Up with the fence, down with the fence. I think he's out of control. All his wheels are gone. Yeah, he's out of control. He's going to nick that fence. Please don't hit the fence. Watch out. Hit the fence. Don't hit the fence. He hit it. Ladies and gentlemen, there's been a very slight accident down there involving 300 cars. And I have my assistant, Pootwaddle, on the track. He's down on the track now with a traveling microphone. Take it downstairs, Pootwaddle, but be careful as you cross. It's all okay. It's all yours, Pootwaddle. All right. I'm down on the track now. And as I cross the track, number 3 went by there. As I cross the track, there goes 4. I'm having a little trouble getting across the track, but I finally made it. And I'm over by the driver of the car, R. Green. And say a few words, driver, so everybody will know you're perfectly okay. Oh! You just heard the driver of that car. He's all right. Now take it back upstairs, please. We're through down here. It's all yours, Mr. Weaver. Back in the stands for the finish of the races. The boys are really going out here. For you people to tune in late, number 10, Sam Hanks, is really moving in the Los Angeles Speedway Special. Here he comes down the straightaway. There he goes. Into the back. What a car. What a driver. There he goes again. Passing everybody. Cutting in and out. There he goes again. There he goes again. He went by twice. There's a little midget racer. Here, famous little midget. Here comes a little midget racer coming by. Look at that midget. Here comes the midget. And there goes the midget racer. There's another car, another car, another car, another car. Moo, moo, stock car. And they're ready to be out here. and here they're coming up to another car, and they're getting ready for the winner now. The checkered flag is out. Here they come, flashing by the winner. It looks like Sam Hanks it is. No, is it? Who is it? Here he comes, and there goes the winner!
Glenn Miller and the Guys, Artie Shaw style. Bugle Call Ray. Tennessee Ernie.
Summer just about here. And in a couple of weeks, it's going to be beach time again. A lot of us are pretty concerned about it. Not the heat or the humidity that worries us. It's just that, well, we're not any too sure how we're going to look in a bathing suit this year. Right? You know how it is. From September to June, most of us don't pay much attention to our physiques, you know. We eat like pounding sand down a rat hole. And you chub up a little, you know. Pull out that summer suit and put it on, you look like a sack full of doorknobs. You know, some of us, we just let our pots go to pot, that's all. Of course, not everybody adds weight, you know. Some of us just let what's there just go to flab, you know. Then June comes around again, and just before making that first appearance in the swimming suit, oh, they all try to get in shape, the shape it took 10 months to get out of shape. All of a sudden, everybody becomes a vulture for physical culture. You want to get back in shape, and you start standing up straight. Right now, all over the country, pudgy men are grunting over push-ups, and the women are pounding like pile drivers on their hips and thighs. Ever see one of them do that, you know? They'll stand around, move back a little. They'll stand up to the wall, you know, and they'll just pound their hips. Oh, boy, they want to get about 4 foot knocked off of that. One woman I know of, she knocked the wall right out.
We got sunlight on the sand, we got moonlight on the sea, we got mangoes and bananas we can pick right off a tree.
We got volleyball and ping pong and a lot of dandy games. What ain't we got?
We ain't got dandies.
We get packages from home,
we get movies, we get shows,
we get speeches from our skipper
and advice from Tokyo Rose.
We get letters doused with perfume, we get dizzy from the smell.
What don't we get?
You know damn well.
We got nothing to put on a clean white suit for. What we need is what there ain't no substitute for.
There is nothing like a day, nothing in the world. There is nothing you can name that is anything like a day.
We feel restless, we feel blue,
we feel lonely and in brief.
We feel every kind of feeling,
but the feeling of relief.
We feel hungry as the wolf felt when he met Red Riding Hood.
What don't we feel?
But don't feel good.
Lots of things in life are beautiful, but brother, there is one particular thing that is nothing whatsoever in any way, shape, or form like any other.
There is nothing like a day, nothing in the world. There is nothing you can name that is anything like a day. Nothing else is built the same. Nothing in the world
has a soft and wavy frame like the silhouette of a dame.
There is absolutely nothing like the frame of a dame.
Luther.
Yes, Miss Forbush.
Have you done what you promised?
Yes, Miss Forbush. I did it all last night. You don't have to open it now.
Work, Luther. Gosh, I guess I'm just about the luckiest nurse on this island to have found you. You're a treasure.
Nice little girl. But some of them nurses, the officers can have them.
They got them.
Well, they can have them.
So suppose a dame ain't bright, or completely free from flaws,
or as faithful as a bird dog, or as kind as Santa Claus.
It's a waste of time to worry over things that they have not.
Be thankful for
the things they've got.
And nothing looks like a day. There are no drinks like a day. And nothing thinks like a day.
Nothing acts like a dame, or attracts like a dame. There ain't a thing that's wrong with any man here that can't be cured by putting him near a girly, womanly, female, feminine dame.
Ray Walston, Mitzi Gaynor, South Pacific, Rodgers and Hammerstein. Luther Billis and the Seabees, 1958. I'm going to tell you about a local story in that picture. It was an airline stewardess out of her scene. Young woman spent a whole day running across a beach. Remember that scene? It lasted about, less than 2 minutes. Monica Meyer, daughter of Joe Meyer, he's living at 1616 Grove Avenue, Racine. Monica and 12 other women, they were in that sequence, they enjoying themselves immensely. It was in September, 57. She and a couple of other stewardesses, they worked for Transworld Airlines, TWA, vacationing in Honolulu. They heard South Pacific is being filmed right there. Well, they applied for bit parts. Most of the gals lived in Hawaii. But all they had to do was run across the beach, Mitzi Gaynor singing. Joshua Logan had the girls change costumes twice. Well, she was there between flights, visiting her father. Went back to New York and TWA stewardess, flying to England, Germany, France, Italy. Been a stewardess for about 3 years. She got members in the Half Million Mile Club. Great story, I think, and she was scheduled for her first flight over the Arctic Circle nonstop. Graduated from Washington Park High School, Racine, the year 1951. And she worked for J.I. Case before she joined TWA.
Goes wrong with me. The office. Some guys there that are out to get me. And then at home, I don't know, my wife. Oh, the kids, you know, everything. And then there's the payments due on the car. Oh, no. Well, I'm just telling you, I sometimes wonder if it's worth it. I mean, really, I wonder if it's worth even trying. What am I killing myself for like this? I don't know. Oh, if I had any brains. That's the trouble. I've got the brains, but I don't know, maybe it's my attitude. It's wrong or something. Nothing happens. I figured I'd be something in the office by this time. But everybody gets pushed up ahead of me. And that, of course, and then there's the wife and the kids. And the trouble. The car. Yeah, and there's... I don't know. Let's have another drink and forget the whole thing.
Oh, stop it. You're killing me.
See, it makes me feel much better. Just talking to you.
Anytime, baby. Anytime. Oh.
About a ham and cheese on whole wheat, without any mustard.
Ham and cheese, Doc. Save the mustard. Coming up. Here you are. How you been? Glad to see you.
Say, Fred.
Yeah?
What happened at Butch's?
What do you mean?
I mean, you and Al. Was there any trouble?
Oh, no. We were just having a little friendly chat.
There you are, sir. Thanks. What'll yours be, Homer?
Oh, I don't care. Give me a chocolate sundae.
Okay.
Hi.
How are you, soldier?
Sailor.
Huh. Excuse me. Say, you mind if I ask you a personal question?
I know what it is. How did I get these hooks and how do they work? That's what everybody says when they start off. Do you mind if I ask you a personal question? Well, I'll tell you. I got sick and tired of that old pair of hands I had. You know, an awful lot of trouble washing them and manicuring my nails. So I trade them in for a pair of these latest models. They work by radar. Look. Pretty cute, eh?
You got plenty of guts. It's terrible when you see a guy like you that had to sacrifice himself. And for what?
And for what? I don't get you, mister.
Well, anything else for you?
Check. We let ourselves get sold down the river. We were pushed into war.
Sure, by the Japs and the Nazis, so we had...
No, the Germans and the Japs had nothing against us. They just wanted to fight the Limeys and the Reds. And they would have whipped them, too. We didn't get deceived into it by a bunch of radicals in Washington.
What are you talking about?
We fought the wrong people, that's all. Just read the facts, my friend. Find out for yourself why you had to lose your hands. And then go out and do something about it.
You better pay your check, brother, and go home.
Well, who do you think you are?
Be the cashier right over there.
Coffee, please.
Yes, ma'am. And that's another thing. Every soda jerk in this country's got an idea he's somebody.
Look here, mister. What are you selling anyway?
I'm not selling anything but plain old-fashioned Americanism.
Some Americanism. So we're all a bunch of suckers, eh? So we should have been on the side of the Japs and the Nazis, eh?
Again, I say, just look at the facts.
I've seen a couple of facts. I've seen a ship go down and over 400 of my shipmates went with it. Were those guys suckers?
That's the unpleasant truth. And the sooner we get wise to it, the better off we're going to...
Oh, if I only had my hands. You put those down!
Take your hands off of it.
Go get the druggist.
Yes, sir.
What happened? It was Fred Derry. He hit him.
Bring some aromatic spirits of ammonia, iodine, and bandages.
Yes, sir.
Don't say it, chum. The customer's always right, so I'm fired. But this customer wasn't right. I'll meet you outside in a minute, kid.
Repeat after me. With this ring, I thee wed.
With this ring, I thee wed.
Those whom God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. For as much as Homer and Wilma have consented together in holy wedlock, and have witnessed the same before God and this company, and thereto have given and pledged their troth, each to the other, and have declared the same by giving and receiving a ring, and by joining hands, I pronounce that they are man and wife. God bless you.
Harold Russell got an Oscar for his performance in The Best Years of Our Lives and this great music by Hugo Friedhofer. 1944, Bing Crosby, Johnny Burke.
This road leads to Rainbowville, going my way. Up ahead is Bluebird Hill, going my way. Just pack a basket full of wishes, and off you start with Sunday morning in your heart. Round the bend, you'll see a sign. Dreamer's Highway, happiness is down the line, going my way. The smiles you'll gather will look well on you. Oh, I hope you're going my way the smile you'll gather will look well on you. Oh, I hope you're going my way too.
Here's Teresa Brewer, Jack Blythe Orchestra.
Till I waltz again with you, let no other hold your charms. If my dreams should all come true, you'll be waiting for my arms. Till I kiss you once again, keep my love locked in your heart. Darling, I'll return and then we will never have to part. Though it may break your heart and mine, the minute when it's time to go, remember, dear, so till I waltz again with you, just the way we are tonight, I will keep my promise true, for you are my guiding light. Till I waltz again with you, keep my love locked in your heart. Darling, I'll return and then we will never have to part. Though it may break your heart and mine, the minute when it's time to go, remember, were divine, that meant I love you so, till I waltz again with you, just the way we are tonight, I will keep my promise true, for you are my guiding light, my light, my light, I will keep my promise true, till I waltz again with you.
They were active in 1966, stationed in Coochie, smack dab in the heart of that living green hell called Vietnam. All kinds of war stories take root and blossom in such infernal earth. But the remarkable tale, the most remarkable tale that the vets of the Wolfhounds ever tell is about their ghost, the ghost of Company A, who was there and who wasn't there. The strange case of a phantom GI. It was not appreciated as such at the time. To superior officers, to other GIs, the ghost seemed pretty much like any other soldier. Except that he did appear to be awkward, unsoldier-like, as though he had not been trained for this war. An old sergeant would remember talking to him on an airplane. And then there were all those times in combat and down in the dark Viet Cong tunnels. The enemy in Vietnam used a network of tunnels to transport bombs, miles and miles of underground passageways, and the Phantom GI was a tunnel rat for the wolfhounds. Other soldiers would watch him go down there with a flashlight in one hand and a pistol with the other, searching for Cong. The ghost of Company A haunted the wolfhounds for 411 days. And yet when he vanished, he appeared to do so as others who had survived the war. He simply boarded a transport and went home. Before he left, he was even decorated for saving a man from drowning. Well, now we know that this decorated soldier was never there at all. I suppose his veteran comrades are just now putting it all together in their minds. It always did seem strange how he spent all that time, more than a year, in Nam, and was never
Sicily,
once wounded.
July 19th.
But there was nothing supernatural about it. There is just one more extraordinary detail in this extraordinary story, which has never been explained until right now, and I mean right now. The name of the Phantom GI. Oh, yes, he has a name. But I'm going to withhold that name because if his identity were ever known, he would be prosecuted and he would be imprisoned for desertion. You see, he was supposed to be in Vietnam. His dog tags, his name tag, his service record, everything that was he was there, but he was not. He never left the United States. Well, he went through basic. He went through basic training. He went AWOL. He went home. And he married the girl next door and reared a family, and he never saw Vietnam. While his dog tags hung around the neck of his best friend, Paul Mahar, M-A-H-A-R, who reported for duty in the place of his AWOL friend, who went to Vietnam in the place of his AWOL friend, who fought for 411 days and was decorated in the place of his AWOL friend. And it's only now that the United States Army is learning, at the same time you do, the rest of the story.
Down through the years, there have been men, brave, gallant men, who have died that others might be free. And even now, they do it still. Brave, gallant men, know that someone must, and so they will. Gallant men have built us a nation, passed us a torch of flame. Let us hold it high and light up the sky with praise of our gallant men. Tyrants must know, now, just as then, they cannot stand. Not as long as there are gallant men.
Let us hold it high and high.
Senator Everett McKinley Dirksen. Big hit that was on Billboard. Here's Ozzy Waters.
You see, sir, I'm a blind boy. Yes, I am. I'd like to do my part to show what's in my heart and help my country win this war that we are in. My rover, he can hear a mile away, and he can see at night as well as day. I told my dog goodbye. I don't mean it if I cry. I'd like to give my dog to Uncle Sam. I'd like to give my dog to Uncle Sam. They say that he can enlist just like a man. We've walked since early morn from way out on the farm. When we heard on the air they need dogs over there, I've never seen no glory wave above, but still I know she's there for me to love. I'll get along somehow. If my country needs him now, I'd like to give my dog to Uncle Sam.
As the canine corps.
My rover, he can hear a mile away, and he can see at night as well as day. I'll get along somehow. If my country needs him now, I'd like to give my dog to Uncle Sam.
Erlanger later received the War Department's Exceptional Civilian Service Award in 1945 for her efforts. Public support of donating dogs for the war effort was robust, with estimates of 18,000 dogs offered. The Doberman Pinscher was still a new breed, having only been developed some 50 years earlier in Germany. But in those few decades, the breed had proved itself a worthy police and soldier dog. The Doberman Pinscher Club of America was a big supporter of the war dog effort, and in 1943, it promised that its members would provide the Marine Corps with as many Dobermans as it needed throughout the war at no cost. This would be no small undertaking, as the total number of Dobermans registered with the American Kennel Club in 1943 was only 1,500. By the end of the war in 1945, that number had more than doubled due to the demand. The War Dog Fund was established to help pay for the extensive procurement and vetting process. This campaign allowed owners to donate an enlistment fee in exchange for a rank for their dog. This gave owners a sense of patriotism. Donated dogs went on to one of six war dog training and reception centers across the country. The dogs and handlers were trained following the program outlined in the Technical Manual 10-396, War Dogs, published in July 1943, of which Arlene Erlanger had a hand in writing. The manual covered the 32 suitable breeds, but that list was eventually weaned down to around five, which included the Doberman. Of the breed, the manual noted their speed, power, keen nose, tractability, and exceptional agility. The manual covers grooming and care, feeding.
Well, there really is no singing Marine anymore, but if you fellows would like to help out a guy named Arkansas...
the sea, let's go, men. We're shoving right off again. Nobody knows where or when. We're shoving right off again.
It may be Shanghai. Farewell,
shoving right off for home. Shoving right off for home. Shoving right off for home. Again.
That was Dick Powell. What a voice. Song of the Marines, what 1937.
Creatures cleft for me.
It was a stylish congregation. You could see they'd been around. And they had the biggest pipe organ of any church in town. But over in the amen corner of that church sat Brother Iyer. And he insisted every Sunday on singing in the choir. His voice was cracked and broken. Age had touched his vocal cords. And nearly every Sunday he'd get behind and miss the words. Well, the choir got so flustered, the church was told in fine that Brother Iyer must stop his singing or the choir was going to resign. So the pastor appointed a committee, I think it was three or four, and they got in their big fine car and drove up to Iyer's door. They found the choir's great trouble sitting there in an old armchair, and the summer's golden sunbeams lay upon his snow-white hair. Said York, we're here, dear brother, with the vestry's approbation to discuss a little matter that affects the congregation. Now, it seems that your voice has interfered with the choir. So if you'll just lay out, or are you listening, Brother Iyer? The old man raised his head, a sign that he did hear. And on his cheek, the three men caught the glitter of a tear. His feeble hands pushed back the locks as white as silky snow. And he answered the committee in a voice both soft and low. I wonder if beyond the tide that's breaking at my feet, in that far-off heavenly temple where my master I shall meet, yes, I wonder if when I try to sing the songs of God up higher, I wonder if they'll kick me out up there for singing in heaven's choir. A silence filled the little room. The old man bowed his head. The committee went on back to town, but Brother Iyer was dead. The choir missed him for a while, but he was soon forgot. A few churchgoers watched the door, but the old man entered not. Far away his voice is sweet, and he sings his heart's desires, where there are no church committees and no fashionable choir.
Let me hide myself in thee.
Stand by for NBC News.
Sing a song. Sing out loud, sing out strong, sing of the good things, not bad, sing of the happy, not sad, sing, sing a song. Make it simple to last your whole life long. Don't worry that it's not good enough for anyone else to hear. Sing, sing a song.
Music of the Stars, the Civic Media Radio Network. We're on the air till high noon Central. Now stand by for NBC News and the latest bulletins.
Sing. sing a song. Make it simple to last your whole life long. Don't worry that it's not.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.